Ladies and gentlemen, we are live broadcasting from the depths of the Seattle Comedy Underground, located in beautiful Pioneer Square, Seattle, Washington. I'm Joe Hicks. This is a Tight 60 podcast. Joining me tonight, as always, is my good friend, fellow comedian, raconteur, manager of the Comedy Underground, and co-host of the Tight 60 podcast, Mr. James Milton.
Hello, hello. Good afternoon.
And tonight, our very special guest, this week's headliner here at the Comedy Underground, you may have seen him from all the late shows that matter, Craig Ferguson, Jimmy Kimmel, David Letterman, winner of the Las Vegas World Series of Comedy. His comedy album, Cut Above Stupid, is available on Amazon and iTunes. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Andrew Norelli.
Hello, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, of course. How could I not?
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
You know how many other events I turned down to be here?
Well, with digs like these, I mean, we offer you ice water, you know, there's a Starbucks around the corner.
I come in, I get ice water.
Tap water.
Right. I get, what else do you guys have? You have a coffee table for me to put my feet upon.
True.
Mm-hmm. Feel like royalty.
All the luxuries. All right,
now I know what Kim Kardashian lives like.
Exactly the same as a basement in Pioneer
Square. I bet everywhere she goes, she gets off her tap water and something to put her feet upon.
And that's it.
At the least. That's the least they could do for her.
So how's Seattle treating you? You did a show last night, right, here at the Underground?
It's good. I just saw somebody relieving themselves in the alley. So
you'll get that a lot here.
Right. That was totally...
normal.
Right. You almost feel like you didn't visit if you don't see that. So it was funny because somebody was leading a tour group, and I had wondered if the tour group got to see that, since that's one of the more important.
That's actually one of the main
sites.
Stops along the tour group. Is here
right. It is. It's strange. The Seattle Comedy or the Seattle Underground Tour, as they call it, it's bizarre. They take you to all the seediest, piss-soaked alleys in the area. And then you stand around and they say, well, I know it doesn't look like much now, but 200 years ago, this place was just crawling with syphilitic whores. And just imagine, it was a beautiful place. So that's kind of the way the Underground Tour works.
Totally.
You pay
like 10 that.
Bucks for it. They give you a drink afterwards.
The diseases have just changed 200 years ago.
This is where ecstasy and condoms have brought us, basically.
Totally.
Now it's a beautiful, brave new world.
Right.
So, you know, that's $10.
They should do that. Evolution of diseases in downtown San Diego and downtown Seattle.
This is become
hepatitis C. It was once polio.
I'm sure this is ground zero for a lot of that.
Rickets was the main thing, and now it's.
Well, we've grown immune to those thanks to such exposure that now they.
Yeah, this is ground zero.
Evolve.
That's why I come back. I mean, Seattle literally was built on the backs of whores and drunk lumberjacks. It's a beautiful story.
Right.
Well, I think everything...
Most port cities, right?
Right.
That's what port cities were built on. Yeah.
Yeah. Portland, that's where everyone used to get shanghaied.
Right.
Like the original term of shanghaied, where you're at a bar, you have a drink, someone hits you over the head, you fall through a sliding thing through the floor, and then you wake up and you're on a boat to China.
Well, I believe...
Really?
That's a true story.
Well, you're on a boat to China for what?
I don't know. Merchant,
how come I don't know this? How come you were not my 7th or 8th grade history teacher? You're on a boat to China for what?
I think it was like a merchant thing, right? Weren't they on merchant ships and stuff? And
so they were selling you as a slave or having you work on the ship?
Not selling you as a slave, but sort of indentured servitude. I mean, you woke up, and that's the term Shanghai. You woke up and you were
in Shanghai? Like literally?
Yeah.
Wow,
so
I did not know that.
You
learn something new every day.
Manny's Pale Ale in Portland, and then you woke up.
But then what were you doing in Shanghai? What were they making you do for work?
I think maybe this...
I didn't watch that far into the Discovery Channel special.
I think this info needs to be
All right, is that what you're doing? You're just giving me like the intros to Discovery Channel shows?
He was drunk at 3 a.m. He's pretty sure that's what he saw happen on the television. He doesn't know.
Do you ever meet people like that? All of their knowledge is literally like headlines from news articles?
No.
That's their knowledge. Like, they obviously didn't read the article. They just read the headline.
Yeah.
So when you ask a question, they're like, I don't know. I have no idea. I didn't.
The worst is the people who their entire body of knowledge now has been culled from YouTube videos. Like, everything they know can be encapsulated in 1 5-minute, video. And it's usually, the most bizarre, insane, conspiracy theories.
And they never question anything.
Yeah, they saw it on the internet.
It's so funny. Yeah
it's not like anybody can post shit on the internet, That shit goes through a vetted process there for sure.
I don't know. We need more skepticism.
I mean, I'm always quoting Zeitgeist, though, to my friends. I just want to, you know, spread the word about the fake economy.
You know,
and,
it's crazy. Right. When the internet first came out, they talked about what a beautiful, amazing thing it would be, this information exchange, how it would further technology and information. I would argue it's made us dumber.
And well, now it's just worldstarhiphop.com.
And Facebook. Yeah.
Right.
That's what are on my favorites list.
I'm getting enraged by the misleading headlines. You know, completely fake headline. Like
clickbait.
Yeah, that is... When will people just stop clicking? When are we going to reach a critical point where everybody realizes can't trust any headline, you can only trust an actual website? That's what you should trust, is the brand of a website. And read everything off that website and don't click away from it.
Like Drudge Report,
right?
For example.
Exactly.
That's the thing. People will click on anything, man. That's the thing. Because you're sitting in front of your computer, you're home, alone, nobody can see. Like, who cares what really pops up? So people are just click maniacs.
But that's okay, you know? If it's like... accurate. I'm okay with getting me to click on something that's actually accurate. But don't be like, Scarlett Johansson's dying, you know, and then you click on it, and you're dying to laugh. And I mean, don't do that
HuffPo.
To me.
That's what HuffPo does.
Yes, they do.
They're the worst.
Unfortunate, because it's a pretty good website.
Yeah.
Isn't HuffPo just a collection of shit they found everywhere else, though?
And they have a lot of
good original content. That's why it's frustrating.
Huh.
You know, they don't... Obviously, they need to do that to keep paying the bills, but... You know, so I guess my point is just don't click away from HuffPo.
Just stay on only HuffPo. Website
Make
you
that your homepage and never leave.
As long as all your information comes from HuffPo, you're solid. You're a scholar. You're an internet scholar and a gentleman. Oh my! Well, thanks for coming out, and pitching HuffPo. It's great that
you are a licensed spokesman. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, you know, I just made $13 by plugging them.
That Adrienne, what's her name? Adriana Huffington or whatever?
Yes.
Adriana Huffington.
I think that people need to... I need to start doing impressions.
That was good.
That
people
would be huge.
People need to understand that the government does not tell you what you want to hear. They are working on behalf of the corporations.
Yeah, that's either Ariana Huffington or Mother Teresa.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, it's so close.
Or Latka, Andy Kaufman's Ford man. There you go.
Yeah, you're right. That was pretty close to his character, yeah. No, I think Ariana Huffington's great. I think she's very... I think she did something a little suspect. She did kind of a vanity piece. Didn't she write something called, like, the three... What was it? Golden Rules or something? You know, these successful people get successful, and then they write a book on
sharing their secrets.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's usually no secret at all.
Self help.
It's literally nothing. It's like just do what you want and do it a lot.
Yeah.
It's completely ridiculous. And then you're not only that, you're giving advice to people that probably it wouldn't apply to. I mean, Ariana Huffington probably has some like advanced education, right?
Journalism.
I'm assuming, yeah. She probably has like a high journalism degree. She's probably brilliant.
I figured she just married a rich dude, right? Like, isn't that how, like, I don't know.
I think she's very talented.
I'm a misogynist. It's true. I hate
somebody over there is like, ain't no broad can make it on her own.
I'm surprised they let her out of the kitchen. How did this happen?
Basically, I hate all women. That's what I'm saying.
No,
that's
I
the
think
point
she's
I'm trying
probably
to make.
A little
super,
early
super
in the podcast,
smart.
But okay.
No, it's true. She's on that Real Time with Bill Maher all the time. She seems well-spoken and intelligent.
No, she is. She's incredibly intelligent. I just think it's funny when it's like when you know, either incredibly brilliant people give advice. I mean, their first advice should be incredibly brilliant, like me.
Step one.
That should be the first piece of advice.
Yeah.
Be a genius. Have an IQ of 165. And that's why it's hard to take advice from them, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem. If that was step one, everybody would instantly put the book down and be like, well, you know what? This isn't for me. I'm not buying it. I just saw on page one that I'm excluded.
Yeah, we all know at the end of the day.
No, you have to parcel out step one.
That's right, you know?
Over the course of 300 pages.
It's better than
those. That's another thing I don't like. Right. It's spread out to fill content.
Yeah. Well, everyone has a self-help book out, though. Now, I mean, even this chick, Corinne Stevens, or someone who... Her nickname was Superhead. She's like a rap groupie.
Yeah, yeah.
Who blew Jay-Z and all these guys. And then she came up with a self-help book that's pretty... It's pretty much... You know, it's like, be an independent woman and you go, girl. It's...
See, that's
a little counterintuitive to her actual...
Ariana Huffington wasted all that time in journalism school. She could have just been blowing rappers, man. Boom. That's if I was...
I submitted that article to HuffPo. It did not...
God, HuffPo, they're so closed off.
I'm waiting for OJ's how-to book. That's going to be a huge motivational seller right there. I'm excited about it. It's better than...
Where is he now?
OJ, is he in jail, right? For how long? Does anyone know?
10 years or something?
Anyone? Listeners, Google that for us. Research team? Where's your research team here?
Crack research team. We'll get on that. The numbers on that later.
We'll fix that in post.
It's better than like a lot of these packages you'll see like on the internet that are like how to get rich like overnight or whatever, and then you send in $10 or whatever, and the package you get back says, okay, basically do what I just did. Tell everybody they can get rich overnight if they send you $10.
That I almost like, though. That's more sensible.
You don't have to have an IQ of 165 or whatever.
Right,
to pull
that's
that
more
off
sensible. I there was something floating around. This might be a little bit tangential, and I just used that word.
That's a bit
tangential.
But there was something floating around Facebook, like 15 things that you need to stop doing, and to be a, you know, to be successful. And the 15
Real quick,
things.
15 is a lot.
It is. That's the first problem, yeah.
I'm going to lose interest after three or four, really.
I think number one was be able to read 15 things. That was,
I'm out. I'm tapping.
But they were all the most vague, generic things you've ever heard. It was like, number one, you know, stop giving up on yourself. Number two, stay away from people that don't help you achieve your goals. Number three, you know, it was, I don't understand. It was basically telling you everything that is not only common sense. Oh, we have one of the listeners calling in.
The phone lines are blowing up. In.
Cleveland, go ahead.
Apparently, this 15 things is a huge hot button topic. The phone lines are blowing up. It's
probably the person that wrote that 15 things piece. My 15 things work.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of those recommendations, they have the validity of an internet meme. You know what I mean?
Yes,
it could just
exactly.
be a picture of a whale, you know, breaching, and then it says something like, you know, open your heart to kindness.
Right.
I'm trying to do that. I've been
right.
doing that for 33 fucking years, I think.
Yeah, but as soon as you see the whale photo, then it all makes sense. Then
right.
it all comes together. Because
whales do that.
Yeah, you
That's
know,
why
exactly,
whales are so
you know.
Successful. That's I met a whale. He has three companies that he started. And
you've been waiting your whole life for that
well,
photo
yeah,
on the
yeah.
internet.
Yeah, it is weird because it's like you want to be positive, but you don't. You don't know what becomes just mindless cliches and what is real
right.
positivity. Where is that line?
That's a good point.
And I think positivity also, I don't think it's really a necessary trait for like business success or wealth. I think it's a good trait as a person because it makes you very tolerable to be around, right? Positive people are just, they're more fun to be around. But I don't think they're necessarily more like successful in business. Do you?
No, I think I envision positive people like hippies in a drum circle in a park somewhere. They're one step away from homeless. I envision
right.
successful
right.
people are the assholes and their
right.
beamers.
They're personalities who are just playing racquetball.
They're ruthless.
And crushing other Fortune 500 companies.
Totally, totally. Was that a vague Gordon Gekko reference? Because I like it.
Indeed. Here's my problem with it is that most people I know who are super positive, it was a reaction. You know what I mean?
It's
part of their. It's part of
their. Exactly. They're actually reacting to their own negativity.
Right. They're like, things aren't working out. Hold on. Let me switch gears.
Let me spin it.
So do you think?
Yeah, it's like PR spin usually.
I mean, and it's hard to have family members who are more positive than you. That's my situation. Like my sister is super positive.
Right.
You know, just be patient. Good things will come. And
right.
You know,
I just don't want to punch people like that. Do you think the opposite?
I think I've been doing that. You know what I mean?
Do you think the opposite is true, though? People experience success. It just drops in their lap or whatever. So like, you know what? Fuck everybody. Fuck the world. I'm awesome. And they all suck.
I think
that they already had a predisposition, you know. Mm.
It's more drive than...
I think it's drive. I think they have a lot of drive. But it's also what field you're in. It's what field you're in. That's part of the problem. If you want to be, you know, really, really successful at being, you know, a stockbroker or something, you can do it. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think there's a finite number of stockbroker jobs. There is a finite number of jobs. There's too many people that want to be a writer compared to how many jobs there are for writers. That's part of the problem.
Oh.
So that advice on, like, you can become a writer too is already tainted.
Right.
Because you're talking about a field that's oversaturated.
Yeah.
It's not, being a lawyer is not oversaturated because there's endless amounts of need for lawyers. So if you want to be a lawyer, you can be. You can do it.
Where does stand-up comedian fit in all that list?
I think stand-up comedian fits in the category of writer.
Yeah.
There's too many people that want to do it. Not enough jobs. There's not enough money flowing in that field for everybody to just get it if they want it.
NBA basketball.
Wanting it is not enough. NBA's same thing. Professional athletics.
Right.
That's why you never hear professional athletes giving out that advice of like, you can do it if you want it. No, you can't actually. No, there's actually a tiny number of people who can do it. And a lot of it is what physical gifts are you bringing to the table to begin with.
Right. So do you also think that in the same way that there are physical gifts that bring people to an elite level, there are also, let's say, intellectual gifts or...
Totally. Absolutely.
Know, yeah.
Yep, I do. And that's why, once again, I think that, you know, a lot of advice is just meaningless, I guess.
What about Landmark Forum? What are your thoughts?
That's interesting. I've heard about it. I've heard about it.
I don't know what that is.
It's like
sort of like a cultish,
very
experience.
Organized, Tony Robbins like
okay.
organization of people selling advice, motivation, keys to success. Am I right?
That sounds like a cult to me. Like,
I've just heard of it. Yeah, they do this. They do this session, and it's 6 hours long, and it sounds pretty cultish. I think there was a local comedian who went and did it, and she came back and described some of it, and maybe I just don't let go enough for these sort of things to take root and happen. But
I don't need anybody to tell me like how to be motivated or how to be happy. And at the same time, like if I'm like miserable and depressed, that's fine. Like I'm okay being like a depressed little piece of shit every once in a while. That's just life.
Well, how about this? What do you think about people that did Landmark Forum and they say it worked and they just say, look, it worked for me. Why can't I do it? What do you think about those people?
It's fine,
but
I
then
guess. I
mean, none of their outer circumstances have changed.
What if they have? What if that person said, look, these were my goals. Mm-hmm. I went to Landmark Forum. I've achieved those goals, and I can show you. You can see it. I have tangible proof that I achieved them.
What would you think about those people? I would probably take that on board.
But you wouldn't question. Those people could have done it without Landmark Forum?
That's a good point. I would question because
I know people that have quit, you know, drinking or quit smoking or other, you know, deeply entrenched personal behaviors without the assistance of an expert.
I think it's kind of like what I was saying. Yeah, that's exactly kind of like what I was saying. Like sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm not happy, and nobody needs to tell me how to do that, and I'm okay
you
with
just
it.
Some people need
a crutch. You know, some people need a system or a belief or a religion or.
Oh, we got a caller from Dallas.
Oh yeah,
Dallas calling in.
I shouldn't have brought up religion. That was a time bomb.
Hot button topic. There you go again.
It's an interesting concept because the self-help business is that's the first problem with it is it's a for-profit business. So I don't understand why you're not supposed to be as skeptical about that as you are about Chevron. You know what I mean?
Or Amway.
Yeah. I used to be really into that stuff. I used to work at this New Age bookstore in Pasadena, and they had all the, you know, everything from crystals to alien pyramid technology to, you know, Les Brown self-help books.
Right.
And some of those are interesting. I mean, a guy like Les Brown, who was in schools, was considered unteachable and kind of like a special needs kid. And, he didn't learn basic arithmetic for a long time, and then he grew to be an adult, and now he's this successful motivational speaker. But it's based on his own personal life.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that's something that you can sort of believe in because it's sort of the same thing with, I guess, religion, where you're buying into this specific person and their transformation, and if they did it, then you can do it.
But what did Les Brown overcome specifically? You're saying he overcame a learning disability?
Yeah, like several learning disabilities, and he had, you know, was sort of kicking around at menial jobs in his early.
Yeah, but now his whole success is based on him telling that story, right?
Right.
So what are you going to be, the next Les Brown or something?
He doesn't go into detail about, okay, then I started collecting an email list and speaking at the Eagles Lodge.
But it sounds like his success. But I don't have a terrible problem with him if he's telling everybody, I had a learning disability. This is how I overcame my learning disability. Mm-hmm. At least it's specific. I like that. I like that it's not vague.
Right.
But to me, unless I had a child with a learning disability, I don't know why I'd be listening to Les Brown.
Yeah, I mean, why?
I don't know what he would have to impart on me.
It's inspiring in and of itself. It's kind of motivating. You know, like the way, you know what, you, Did you get inspired by Forrest Gump the first time you saw Forrest Gump? I was kind of like, wow, look at this.
Brought you to tears, right? It just
I mean, I almost cried. Serafina was more of a tearjerker than Forrest Gump.
I was inspired by Jenny. I actually did heroin that later that week.
About radio. Radio was a good one.
No, yes, I think Forrest Gump does have
elements.
An interesting message. Yeah. I mean, but I do like the message of basically like, look, opportunity will favor you if you let it.
Right.
You know, if you have the right attitude to things and you stop questioning everything and you just pursue things, then sometimes things come your way.
Yeah.
And I do like that message.
And again, that message is no different than the message of, you know, Swami Yogananda Paramhansa or whatever his name was.
Right.
Who was, you know, an Indian yogi who came to the Southern California and spread that message, which is basically being open and receptive and not just being negative.
Seems like a lot of those swamis, is it,
good things will happen.
Right.
Is it just me or were didn't a lot of those swamis inevitably end up embroiled in some sort of scandal? Like, wasn't Osho like,
well, there was a huge one. There was a Vanity Fair article about one of the big yogis who became, you know, like a very, very wealthy because he franchised everything.
Yeah.
And he was accused like his of own army sexual harassment.
Yeah, and he had a bunch of Rolls Royces. And
yes.
Like they had to send, yeah.
Exactly. But that, now that splinters off to a different topic, which is, I think, why do we end up worshiping these people?
Because, well, again, because
you can't give anybody too much power to begin with.
I think it's a sociopathic type of thing where you know, deep down, you have some sort of drive to be a personality cult.
Well, I think maybe.
Why do we have to follow that?
Yeah, I think maybe.
That's fine, but
because
why can't the public just go, fine, thanks for the message, but you know, take care. We're not worshiping
well,
you. We're not treating you special.
Actually, I think ultimately the problem is the majority of the people out there don't have any faith in themselves. They don't have any faith in their own ability to pull themselves up out of their own circumstances and morat. They always feel like somebody's got to help me. Somebody's got to come along. Somebody's got to write a
Rush
book.
Okay, Rush Limbaugh. Jeez.
I'm just kidding. You know, there's an interesting case when we were talking about those swamis. I read a thing. This guy in India, he's a very wealthy spiritual guru, and he's embroiled in a legal battle. Well, his followers are because they claim that he's in a state of deep meditation, but he has no pulse, or he's dead, basically.
Okay.
But his followers are claiming he's in a state of deep meditation.
His career skyrockets after he dies.
Right.
They call it in the yogi terminology. But they're keeping him, they have him frozen in a commercial freezer at their ashram.
What?
Right.
I've not heard this. So his career really skyrocketed after
he died. That's not false worship, if I ever heard it.
So where does that fall into the discussion? I mean,
I think the same thing. I don't know why people keep wanting to worship other people and thinking those people are better than them. I don't. Even if somebody is better than you, go ahead and acknowledge that person's. I acknowledge Brad Pitt is better than me. He is.
In what
I'll
way?
Admit, in every single way you can imagine.
Listen,
he is
Andrew,
better than me.
Andrew, you got to believe in yourself.
No,
I don't know if I would not be on board with that.
Open your heart.
But I am okay with it. I'm okay with it. And if Brad Pitt walked in here, I wouldn't worship him. I'd just be like, hey, dude, how you doing? Good to meet you. That's it. There's no worship. Somebody can be better than you without you worshiping them.
Well, what about, and I guess we're going in deep on this, but did you guys ever hear about that? They were calling him the Buddha boy or whatever, that kid in India where he just like wandered off and decided he was going to meditate for 2, 3, 4. Next thing you know, it's like 6 weeks, and supposedly he's not eating. He's just sitting under this tree, like in a deep state of meditation, and this huge crowd like started to show up to like first to just see if it was real. Yeah. But then,
is this
like
a David Blaine stunt?
No, it's a true story. It happened like 3 or 4 years ago. It's a little old. And then finally what happened was this whole cottage industry sprung up around this kid. Like tourists would come, and so these guys would show up and sell like beads and whatever.
Yeah.
And then like all this garbage follows, and like it's just this kid sitting under a tree, and now there's like tens of thousands of people out there just trashing the place. Like,
yeah,
this whole industry sprung up around it. They opened up a bank account. Next thing you know, like millions of dollars are going in this bank account. And then to really like confuse matters, suddenly the kid just got up and walked away in the middle of the night. Nobody knew where he went. He just like wandered off, and he showed up like 6 months later, like wearing a potato sack in some village. And he was like, yeah, I just there's all these people, and I just kind of, you know, it was weird. So I just left. I got, and like now there's this whole like abandoned cottage industry that's trying to follow him around, and like
they totally tried to like corporatize him, and he really did just want to meditate.
They call him Buddha Boy. Yeah,
it was a religious Burning Man.
Yeah, right. Pretty much. And doctors from like Europe came out to try to like test to see if he really wasn't eating, but his handlers wouldn't let him get close. And right. There's this big controversy. It turned into a whole thing. If you Google Buddha Boy, it's a whole like story.
He's the Bieber of Buddhas.
Yeah, I guess, man. That's how it works over there. You know,
protecting him and handling. Him. I love it.
And all he did was go sit under a tree for a couple weeks. Next thing you know, he's huge. I don't know. I guess that's how it works over there in India. But yeah, I followed that story for a while. It was really, and then he just kind of, you don't hear anything about it anymore. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe he's like, you know, smoking cigarettes, dealing dime bags outside of an arcade somewhere in Punjabi.
Probably,
I don't know.
He plays drums now. So that's, I don't know if we want to get off this topic, but I think it's sort of related. This phenomenon, you know, I'm not the first one to bring it up, but how people, because people need to do this on Facebook, right? They need to show you that their lives are good.
Yes.
And I would argue that it's mostly fake, right? They're not really feeling that good. They're not having that good of a time.
Yeah.
And it's an avatar.
Right.
And
it's just fascinating that most of people's nights become documenting what the night is. Most of the night is let's take a picture of everything we're doing. That becomes the event.
I don't have a Facebook page. I don't have an Instagram account. I don't have any of that stuff. And every time I talk to somebody who, for whatever reason, some sort of Facebook experience is on the forefront of their mind, it always seems like the most shallow, asinine, like fabricated drama imaginable,
it is sometimes. It's not everybody. There's a lot of people on Facebook that use it for different reasons. There's a lot of people that do have political agendas.
Well,
they want to push
and
their
I've
agenda,
had so many
fine.
I've had so many comics tell me, oh, you got to get on Facebook so you can network and branch out and get more like fans or whatever. And then
but at least that makes sense though. At least that
but then these
an
are the same people who come to me whenever they talk about Facebook. It's usually some stupid like whatever. I'm like, really? Yeah. Is that what you're using it for? Are you just taking pictures of your lunch? Like, I don't understand.
But what do you think about that? People that is become their life is documenting what they are doing. I get it. I get the hot girl phenomenon wants to constantly show everybody I'm hot. I understand that. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about
I'm on board
people.
With that.
I'm talking about the people that literally are just like, no, I just want to show you what I'm doing all the time. Even though what I'm doing, I'm not even that into.
It's just attention whoring, you know? I hate the idea that you can put my name into Google and like stuff pops up, you know. I'm not that person. Yeah. Everybody else though, it seems like they want the internet to be all about them, you know, with their Facebook and their Instagram and all this other, and that like really
But I guess I wonder though, when you realize it doesn't work, I would understand the addiction of like, yeah, I posted a bunch of stuff on Facebook and now I have all kinds of people that message me and they invite me to parties.
Right.
But that doesn't usually happen. So don't those people get tired of doing it?
You'll have to talk. I don't even do it at all.
I also think it's a way just to experience yourself in a different way. I mean, before Facebook, there was MySpace, and you know, it's just a new avenue of sharing yourself, I guess. But I think like any endeavor that human beings get involved in. It gets,
maybe most people are socially inept, you know. They just can't sit down and have a conversation. So it's easier to, like, be at home late at night on their computer, like, posting pictures of their food and what, and talking to people anonymously.
No, but they're doing it as they're out, though. That's what cracks me up. They're doing it as they're socializing. Yeah.
To me, that leads me to the question, like, are you doing that just to document it later, or are you doing it because you truly enjoy this activity or experience?
That's my question.
Yeah, and I would submit to you that I think for people that you notice a trend where they are addictively posting thing, it is more just to share or to, you know, to put it out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because to me, that would seem to interfere with the experience. Getting back to
that's my point.
Of being in the now,
experience.
Well, and being in the moment. And you're like, well, hold on. hold on, we got to get a picture.
Well,
you know,
and that's what I'm saying about people being socially inept, because even though they're doing it while they're out and about, they're still staring at their phones the whole time they're out and about with everybody. You know, like when civilization collapses and the aliens land, they will know all about our tasty sandwiches and penchant for alcohol. I guess that'll be that'll be the record that we'll leave.
See a lot of pictures.
That'll
of pasta.
Be the mark. Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Probably the aliens are like sandwiches and they're alcoholics too, though.
That's true. They have pictures of their weird alien food. Let's go back to where we were talking about before, because I want your take on Deepak Chopra.
I don't like the guy.
Because he's a fascinating industry.
I used to like him. I thought he was comforting and was more middle of the road philosophy
Isn't he showing up
do
on
what
like
you can do, but in addition to you know, working at Quiznos and posting to Instagram, also adopt a new set of principles that might help you.
Right.
You know.
Isn't he like showing up on Dr. Oz and Dr.
Well,
Phil?
Well,
he's
had
and
his
all
own
that,
he's had his own evolution as a spiritual.
He has.
Figurehead.
And what is he doing lately, I guess, is my point.
I don't know.
Did he write a book with 50 Cent or someone else did a... No, I'm being serious. Someone did a...
Are you serious?
I think he did a rap with Ja Rule, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, his previous
I think he's dating Rihanna now.
Have you heard his collab with Mystical?
No.
It's fire. Did I say that right?
Fire.
I don't know how the kids talk.
I heard he punched Floyd Mayweather.
Well, they were at a Fatburger hanging out.
But he's part of an industry, another industry that I think is fascinating. I could be wrong because I haven't seen Deepak Chopra.
Is he a real doctor?
Probably. I assume he's got a PhD in something.
Who's a real doctor. Then there's Deepak Chopra, who is sort of the metaphysical PhD. You know what
but
I mean?
That's
it's
another
sort of vague.
Industry I have a problem with is the, quote, science industry that's about the science of possibility.
Right.
So they're talking about these things that are possible. So you have no way to refute them. It's literally like, our brain, we have not even tapped into it. Okay, so, and? Can you tell us how? Are you furthering research? Is something on the horizon? You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like a nothingness. It's just literally this airy, dreamy, like, wouldn't that be neat? If you use that part of your brain where you could see into the future, okay, so what are you talking about? You're literally selling us on hope.
Do you think astral projection is real?
Well, I haven't seen proof of it. Have you?
No, I guess I haven't. But I think the proof is you have to do it yourself. You have to meditate for a super long time, and then you can able to project your astral body that will sort of float around. You know, almost in a lucid dreaming type sense where you're able to.
But then what? Like even
that experience in and of itself is fulfilling and leads you to new found
truths
that you can apply to your daily life,
you
which ultimately I think is about moral and ethical things. Like treating others with love and kindness is only possible after you've astral projected yourself to some of Saturn's satellite moons or whatever.
Yeah. You know what? I hate to get too like corny about it, but in terms of like experiences that are worthwhile for the experience itself, one of the few things that I have direct personal experience with in that arena is stand-up comedy. Like, maybe you can astral project and you float around. If that happened to me, I'd be like, well, you know, that was weird, but you know, maybe what's on TV?
It happens to you every night. When you sleep and you're dreaming, you're leaving your physical body and you are inhabiting your astral ethereal body.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the closest I've ever come to a spiritual experience or just something where it just seemed like worthwhile just to be doing it is on stage when it goes well.
Have you ever gone surfing?
No, but that's because I have a deep desire to not go surfing, basically.
Why? Are you afraid of water?
I'm not afraid of water, but
open.
I just, like, I don't want to, like...
Would Forrest Gump surf?
Yeah, exactly.
I think he would.
Well, I don't know. I went to snorkeling once on a vacation, and I remember very clearly, first I was standing in the water, and I wasn't on board, and I didn't feel like doing this, but I had the mask on, so I happened to look down in the water, and I saw all these terrifying creatures like scurrying about on the. And that's the only reason I started swimming was like
it was
this
cool, right?
I was just self preservation at that point. There was like snakes and fish and eels and weird shit.
It won't
and, like,
hurt you, man.
I don't know, man. So I'm not, you know.
Dude, you're gonna walk past 15 junkies and
yeah,
people with knives.
Those are my people, though. Those are my people.
Get out of here.
Look at me. They see me and they're just
people?
Like, yeah, they're like, keep
they're
it moving, guys. Yeah, they're
okay.
Like, don't
like,
linger
hey, this
around
is my
here,
corner,
you know?
Man. Yeah. This is where I collect.
So, you know,
coins
out there on the bocce ball courts in front of the club there. I don't know. Stand-up's all I need. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not even particularly good at it. But, you know, I don't need Bibles and churches and motivational speakers and
but
swamis.
But that's because you've already had
projection.
Those, right? See, I have a thing because I didn't grow up with religion. And, you know, you do comedy and you're on comics who they were raised with religion or their dad was a preacher of some kind. And you can see that it's become such a deep-seated need to they have a problem, that they have an axe to grind or an agenda. You know, and I was never raised that way. So to me, it's an interesting phenomenon where I'm like, dude, just get over it. Like it's, you know what I mean? It was like yeah. Getting bullied in junior high. Hey, it happened to all of us. Let's move forward with this.
Yeah, I wasn't raised in it.
Unless you were the bullier.
I mean, I wasn't. I got bullied.
Although you're right. A lot of bulliers were bullied by somebody. Yeah.
I think
and
we've all been
become
bullied.
A bullier.
We've
yeah.
all been bullied at some
well,
point.
Sure, you know. And more to your point, comics in general are damaged people. They're terrible, terrible individuals.
Or they're just the people that you know are damaged because they're willing to
that's
put
what
it
I think.
Out to, an,
I think
to a
just,
world.
I think they're just more open about their damage.
Yeah.
Most people are damaged people. Most people that go, definitely people that go into the arts, definitely people that go into the type A businesses, doctors, lawyers, stockbrokers, they're damaged. That's why they're so driven.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That's why they're so hungry for quote success, you know, material success.
Yeah, or a guy with a facial tattoo. He's got something going on.
Yeah.
Unless it's
no,
a
that
classy
perfectly,
facial tattoo.
That guy was raised in a healthy environment with a lot of hugs.
Oh, man. Yeah, I guess there's no such thing as a classy facial tattoo. There's just no matter what you try to do.
I mean, Mike Tyson's has grown on me. At first, I was like, wow.
Right.
That's,
yeah, but that's Mike
Tyson. But now
Tyson,
I'm kind of like,
you know,
he...
But he could
that's
pull
almost
that
like
off,
an
though.
Ancient Maori warrior thing. You know,
but,
that's
but he's,
I see
he's a commodity, you know what I mean? Yeah. Famous people are more like a business. They're a brand. They're
yeah.
a brand. So I don't even see his tattoo as on a person. I see it as a logo.
Right.
Logo. It's
a
Nike
a
swish.
Logo. That's Mike Tyson's logo.
Yeah.
Well, if you can come back from biting the ear off of Vander Holyfield, then
listen,
from that point
Vander
on,
Holyfield
anything.
Was headbutting him. I don't think. I mean,
so
he
deserved
was
it.
Frustrated
hey,
on the
Vander Holyfield stuck his ear in Mike Tyson's mouth.
I mean,
all right,
what?
He deserved it. He had him coming to him. You're right. You're right. That the ear bite was totally legit. That was. I don't know. Maybe he overacted. I think. I'm just saying. I don't know. But he somehow like now he's adorable. Whatever happened to Vander Holyfield? You never hear about that.
Did
guy
anybody
anymore.
See Mike Tyson's? One man show because I heard it's pretty amazing.
You know,
I
got it on
show.
Netflix. It's the one that Spike Lee did, and it's sort of. I didn't get all the way through it, but you know, it opens with Mike Tyson sitting there, and there's like this white walled backdrop with like a hanging microphone, and Mike Tyson sitting there, and it's just kind of like you know, like welcome to my inner thought palace. It's
yeah.
just it's very
yeah.
you know.
And there's tigers and lions in the background.
This is the bedroom of my mind, you know, and then he proceeds to tell you about himself. I didn't watch all of it. It's kind of interesting, but you can tell that someone helped him write it because
right.
there's some opening jokes that are kind of like,
sure,
you know,
yeah.
You could tell someone wrote.
Yeah, Mike
wrote
Tyson.
Some...
Mike Tyson didn't do the open mic circuit before boxing. Yeah,
right.
He didn't brush up his comedy chops.
Thank you. It's great
along
to be here,
way.
Boy. I just flew in from New York, and you know,
yeah,
yeah,
no,
there's...
totally. He had a right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he built some gigantic mansion, I want to say somewhere in Michigan or something, and then like his whole career fell apart and he just abandoned it. And to this day, it's kind of out in the middle of the country and it's almost like one of those like, what do they call them, like urban...
People are squatting there and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
And they take pictures and post it online and it's just like yeah. this huge like mansion that time forgot or whatever.
Yeah.
It just sits there.
Have you
there.
Seen some of these... they might be on a Tumblr or something, but these drug lords down in Mexico, they'll raid this compound and I get they're gone or whatever, but these drug lords in Mexico have the most amazing compound. It's like a mansion, and then downstairs there's like a built-in grotto with a pool.
I'll interject with what my dad would say here. Man, I'm in the wrong business. they have these incredible compounds.
Yeah, and, you know, it's like this underground grotto.
Right. It's like a Playboy mansion, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, with wrought iron. You know, there's like little, white Siberian tigers that are placed in cages next to the pool. And
sure,
there's maybe 25 of these tigers in the world, and four of them are at this drug lord's mansion.
Right.
You know, and there's like millions of dollars in every conceivable cupboard and nook and cranny. You know, the silverware drawer is just full of money. And, I mean, it's just the most amazing.
Well, fuck this Les Brown
Swami
shit.
But what were you saying? They become abandoned eventually?
Well, maybe they were caught, or it was raided, or some other. They had some sort of drug lord shootout, you know.
God,
but
the drug lord business is so unstable. You know,
it's a tough business, man.
Well, fuck this Les Brown Swami shit. You just got to sell drugs in Mexico.
Market.
Like,
listen, you got to. Yeah, I mean, build a coca leaf, have a coca leaf field, and you know.
So,
and think positive. Those are the two keys.
Then what? Don't they auction off the compound or whatever once it's seized?
I mean, I would assume so, but it's in Mexico, so I mean, I'm sure it becomes government property, which is essentially drug lord property anyway. So it's just a circulating door. There's a really good documentary about this sort of. It's called Narco Cultura. And they, you know, they show all these guys. They have these amazing mausoleums, which are bejeweled and bedazzled,
and their guns. They have their guns.
Yeah, they're
bedazzled.
Like 24 karat gold, covered
AK-47s, yep,
and everything. And then there's this whole business of these musical folk singer guys who are what's it called? They like boom 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 booms booms booms. They have like the whole What's the music called?
Boom, boom, boom. I don't know.
They have like a tuba doing the bass line.
Is that a Taylor Swift song?
That's what it is. It's that new Nicki Minaj thing.
You mean there's an industry of music that...
centered around glorifying...
glorifying these guys and this culture.
And stuff. Yeah,
right. We call that rap music in America, right? I mean,
right. Just without the mariachi backup band.
There you go, mariachi. Well, hey, some people would argue that that whole cocaine industry, especially when it came up in the 80s, some people would argue that that sort of indirectly resulted in the whole stand-up comedy like infrastructure that sprang up in the States. You know, back in the 80s when comedy clubs were popping up on every corner, everywhere, I would posit that maybe most of those clubs were cocaine-funded, you know, and a lot of those comics were getting paid.
Well, we all know the entire city of Miami was... basically built. That's how it became a major metropolitan city.
Yeah, cocaine cowboys. So they called there was a movie about that.
But, no, but it was interesting that it may never have become a major, major economic power without that to fund its beginnings.
Well, it almost
and you're arguing that happened on a small scale with all of comedy clubs.
Yeah, I think that back in the 80s and. Cocaine was sort of a big thing, you know. I mean, and comedy clubs were popping up all over the place.
I mean,
and
I would
all of these guys were jacked up on coke, and you hear stories of
industry. I mean, even if you watch Scarface,
sure. But comedy was a part of it.
Hang out at,
and it seems like in the late '80s, early '90s, cocaine kind of fell out of fashion, you know. And
well, it's just like anything.
And then the comedy clubs started closing down all over
the
place.
It's like anything, though. I mean, even like the porn industry is subtly financed by the mafia.
Really?
I mean, yeah. I
would think the porn industry doesn't need any, like, because there's so many people out there that just, you know, want a jacket that, you know, don't make money.
But back then, before all the explosions. Mm.
Right, yeah.
Back when it was
in the 90s, people were not masturbating a lot.
it's a new thing. Now the internet's out there.
Post-92, masturbation really took off. You know, I don't know.
That's when we finally had the technology to masturbate properly, really. That's what happened there. I don't know. Yeah.
Big sports fan, Joe?
No. I don't understand sports, you know. I just it's there's no end game, you know. Like you even have a
the finals. Is
there,
the
there's
end game.
There actually is an end game. That's
the whole
what
point
we love about it.
I don't. I
that's
don't mean
what we
there's
love about it. It's so concrete.
I don't mean there's no game at the end of the whole season. I just mean like at the end of the day, it's a bunch of dudes just like running around chasing a ball. You know, like my dog chases a ball. Like I don't. It's like
yeah,
I
but
can't,
can your dog dunk from the free throw
right,
line?
Right. I doubt your dog knows how to run. Knows how to run a you know.
I'm not saying
a good
my dog
pick and roll.
Totally.
I'm not
totally.
Saying my dog is the greatest athlete in the United States. I'm just saying
dog
that
pound,
like,
run a pyramid offense.
That's just as entertaining to me to watch my dog chase a ball as it is a handful of dudes. Like I don't know, maybe
have
there's
you ever
some
gone
sort
to
of
a live sporting event. Those are pretty fun. I mean, I think that's part of the appeal. Like,
yeah.
is going to games.
Well,
I mean,
but
watching
here's the
on
problem.
TV is.
See, I think TV's a better experience now than
for
the game.
Basketball. I agree.
I think
well,
for all games, it's
baseball,
better.
Baseball. You'd rather watch a baseball game on
so,
TV.
Oh well, I mean,
baseball. You're not. First of all. You are getting, we know this already, I'm not saying anything new, you're getting 15 times the camera angles that you are than if you're at the game live.
Well, see, that's the thing. Okay. I made the horrible mistake of, yes, I have been to live sporting events. I made the horrible mistake of seeing the Chicago Cubs play live at, like, Wrigley Field, you know, which is
okay,
supposed
so now
to be
I understand your horrible aversion to sports.
There you go.
It was just...
It was, like, the most miserable 4 hours of my life. Like, what am I doing here? This doesn't make any sense,
it's
you
long.
Know?
I know. Well, it's,
your choices were that or a Holocaust documentary.
That's true, and I made a terrible
mistake. See, to me, I think sporting events falls under the category of false happiness again. I think people feel like it's more exciting because it's supposed to be more exciting since you're there.
Oh, man, you should have been here when the Seahawks won the Super Bowl. Like, suddenly it was like the entire town
yeah,
somehow had some sort of...
Yeah, there's subscribing to what you're talking about.
Yeah, like...
No. I think the experience is... My point is, it's just as good...
It's genuine?
...when you watch it. At home with family and friends. I think we've been duped into thinking it's better if you're seeing it live. And you're not convincing me that it is. On TV, it's just as good. You get the commentary.
Everything's
see, I don't
better
like
on
the
TV.
I actually watch sports with the volume off.
I tell you what, here's
I find that's misleading. Like they start talking, like if you're watching college basketball, they'll start talking about how the point guard is dedicating his senior year to his high school coach who died of cancer, and all this stuff is going on. And I just want to watch the game. I don't need to know
right.
these well, human interests.
God,
pieces.
I know. I hate those people that donate their time to no. cancer.
Here's
God, why do we have to hear about them?
Speaking of which, this pink ribbon business. Come on, people. No.
You know, I go to...
See, I like the human drama of sports.
Okay.
And that answers your question. A lot of people that don't get sports or don't like it, they don't realize the human drama involved in it. It's not just... If you're watching it just to see who won or lost, you miss out on a lot of the emotional elements of it.
Yeah, for me, the thing is, like, there is one sport, I guess, that I kind of watch a lot, and that's UFC. Whenever UFC is in town or in the area, I'll go... But the funny thing is, like, whether it's better on TV or not, even when I go to the UFC live events, one of the first things I do is they have these little radio sets that you can buy and you put in your ear and you can hear the color commentary. Like, that's, like, the first thing I do. Like, I don't want to just sit there in silence watching these guys beat the crap out
I
of
agree.
Each other.
Like, I like the commentary. I think you're getting experts breaking it down, analyzing it, talking about it. You know, telling
and then,
you
and
things
then you also
that you're not
get
noticing.
Charles Barkley.
And ultimately, the UFC...
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. Sometimes you get needless tidbits. Yeah.
Well, and the thing is with the UFC, now there's something that has an end game. Somebody's going to get the shit kicked out of them, right? Like, that is more right. visceral to me than I'm going to sit here for
okay,
4 hours.
Okay, you need someone
to
nearly die, okay.
Yeah, then I'm entertained,
you
know?
You
I don't want
concussions.
Yeah, I don't
okay.
want to sit there for 4 hours and maybe the score's 2-0 after
right.
that, you
if
know?
If it was up
like,
to you,
know?
We would still be feeding, you know...
Look, it's perfect.
POWs to Tigers, it's
right? perfect because what happens is these two guys come out, they just wail on each other for 5 minutes, and that's about the length of my attention span. So they take a break, and a half-naked chick walks around. So suddenly I'm back on board.
Good point.
Then they come out for another 5 minutes. It doesn't last any more than 15 minutes, and then they move on to the next match. That I'm on board. I can do all that. I'm just high enough to like focus on that. None of this 4 hour, 2 hour shit.
With that.
I can't do that.
My only problem with UFC, though, is that I'm a big boxing fan, and I also like K1, where they're allowed to kick and knee, and it's... Yeah. It's like K1 is like Street Fighter, but for real. They have Russian guys fighting little Thai, Muay Thai fighters.
Yeah, I'll watch
and,
a lot of those
oh, yeah.
old Pride
dope.
Videos.
Right.
You need different ethnicities to fight.
yeah, I need a guy who can throw a fireball or I'm not involved. I'm not emotionally invested. But my problem with UFC, though, is that it starts off like a fight, and then there's way too much Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. And it's these invisible arm bars for 3.5 minutes
right.
that lead to a submit and... Sometimes, like, there's some good ones, like when Maisha Tate got her arm broken. I mean, I can watch that. you know.
Well, why don't we just have the NBA start allowing kneeing?
It's almost at that
it's
goddamn
almost to
point.
That point.
I mean, Jesus, we watched the game yesterday.
Yeah.
When Stevenson throws a running bitch slap.
He clotheslined. Yeah.
Yeah.
Clotheslined
Norris
Cole.
Did you see the one with who's the guy for the Timberwolves? That white guy for the Timberwolves who like did a flying elbow into LeBron James's neck. Like I think the first
Kevin Love did that.
No, not Kevin Love. I don't know the dude's name, but I believe it was the Timberwolves.
See, I don't know. Outside of UFC, I don't know. The only basketball trivia.
It's getting pretty flagrant in the NBA. This playoffs has been pretty, I think it's been pretty high stakes. It's been exciting.
Well, but the league has cracked down on rough play so much in the last couple decades. So much. No, really.
So do you think Bill Russell and Chamberlain were probably pretty dirty, like throwing elbows?
I don't think they were dirty because they did stuff within the rules, but I think it was rougher under the hoop, yeah. Huh. I think fouls were harder.
Huh.
I think it was harder to get called for a flagrant foul. It was just
were
a
guys
normal
blowing
foul.
Knees back in the day like that? Like in the 70s, was World Be Free tearing an ACL? And I mean, do you think injuries have increased?
I do think injuries have increased because I think people lift weights too aggressively.
Oh.
And I think weights are really, really hard on the body. They're not natural.
Oh.
We're not made to have 400 pounds on your back and then kneel, you know, squat down 10 times in a row.
Yeah.
We're not made for that.
Yeah.
That just hurts your flexibility.
Yeah.
And it makes your body too big for itself. You're not supposed to be that big.
Yeah.
I am completely anti-exercise. That is just a
I didn't say you're supposed to exercise.
Bad,
you know,
bad
with the cut jeans and the Crocs.
It's true,
man.
It's all I can do to stay seated, you know. I'm just saying, like, even jogging, that's not good for you. I know so many people who have been runners their whole lives, and then now they just regret
it. See, I think jogging is good for you because, obviously, cardio, we were made to run.
Yeah, but it bangs your joints up.
I know, but we're not made to run on concrete.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
We're made to run on grass and dirt and sand and...
Yeah.
Because I can think of so many ways. I mean, if it's just about the cardio, like, you know, give me 15 minutes on RedTube or whatever. I'll get my cardio up. It's no problem. I don't need to RedTube. Come on now. It's a porn site.
We don't want to be explicit.
Yeah, apparently.
Listen, this is a PG show we're running here. All right?
I didn't realize I'm the only person familiar with the most popular porn site.
Well, I guess I was thinking Redbox or something. I was thinking some sort of like a Hulu thing. Well, you know, I like to jump rope. That's a good form of exercise.
That's
it's
amazing.
Kind of a full body exercise.
That's
and
amazing exercise.
There's not a lot of it's what they call what you're talking about, which is low impact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, running is more like a medium to high. I mean, sometimes I've been running and I'll be done the next day. My knee is killing me.
So hard on
but
your
with
knees.
Jump rope, I never have ill effects. That's a good
it's
form.
It's a lot about surfing. Low impact.
Yeah.
It's just swimming.
Yeah.
Best exercise, walking in a pool. That's all you need. Just walk
so,
in a
so right.
But if you're under 60, it's humiliating.
No,
you know,
it's just
that's
you and senior
way.
Citizens
right,
doing,
you know? Right.
Doing
well, you know,
shoulder rolls in the pool at the
you,
community
you,
center.
You meet
right,
available
Joe?
Women, so, you know, there's another benefit to the whole
well, they,
thing.
And they just got out of a long-term relationship.
Exactly.
So,
you know, they're widowed, you know. So they probably have a decent 401k, so, you know.
Well.
All right, so we've gone about a tight 60 for the Tight 60 podcast here. Andrew, is there anything you want to pimp? Or
I had a great time. Just to Facebook me, Andrew Norelli, comedian Andrew Norelli. I know it sounds stupid to have comedian in your name, but that's because there's, believe it or not, a couple other Andrew Norellis. So comedian Andrew Norelli, Facebook friend request me, and I'll let you know when I'm in your city.
And Twitter is at Andrew Norelli, right? Is
yeah.
that your Twitter handle?
Yeah, Facebook is better because I find that I can track people in the region they're in better. With Facebook, mm-hmm. So Facebook's preferred.
And how's the tour going? After Seattle, you're heading to...
After Seattle, I go to San Francisco, where I started comedy.
Oh, nice.
Do some gigs there, and then I go to Santa Barbara, do some shows there.
Beautiful.
All this stuff you'll hear and see on my Facebook.
Cool.
Wow,
no pictures
fantastic.
Of food. That's my promise to you.
No pictures of food. Well, I'm out then. Forget it. I don't even...
Unsubscribe.
All right, James, anything, any parting shots of wisdom, anything from any of the yogis that you've been following?
I just want to say, you know, to all four of our listeners, just believe in yourself. Open your heart to new experiences. And, you know, read a Les Brown book. It can change your life.
I love
change
it.
Your life. All right, Andrew, well, thanks again
thanks
for joining
for
us.
Me.
This
Thank
is Tight 60 Podcast, and we're out.